Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics, still getting close to the end there. And we're on page 56, and we're going to read and take apart the directions for recovery, paragraph 4, and it begins like this. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed and then ends with conscious companionship with his creator. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Christina M., the 12 traditions, Karen W., reading the text, and the support today would be Dana P., Mary B., Brandy M., newcomer greeter would be Lois P. and announcements Robin P. Those would be making up a roster of team members today. Thank you for your service. Absolutely. The share ID numbers for this meeting, yesterday, Monday, May 10th, 2021, is 16918, 16,918. And then for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that we just had a bit ago, the share ID number for that one is 16922, 16,922. And Robin P. will tell you more about how come we have those share ID numbers at the end of the meeting. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christine M. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina M. from Massachusetts. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and I'm happy to do service today. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. from New York. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I'll just give you a little heads up here. That's a star 1 key function only. Your own standing in queue with your own phone on mute will get you muted star 1 by the system that we use here. So just be aware of that. Today we resume our study. We're in the Big Book in chapter We Agnostics on page 56, paragraph 4. And it begins us with this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, and then ends with companionship with his creator. And I'd like to ask Dana P. to please read that particular paragraph and open up the discussion today and share her experience before we offer it to the rest of the group today. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, and thank you for your service. Dana P., here, compulsive overeater in California. Oh, wow. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. In a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through years were swept away. He stood in the presence of the infinite power of love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. For the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. Yeah, to put it a little bit in context, we're talking about our Southern friend. But the paragraph before, he's over here saying, is there a God? Is there a God? And he's questioning the God. And, it takes me back to an experience prior to my last horrible, horrible binge purge cycle when my brother was dying. And my mother had died a year before, and I somehow knew I was on my way out to my brother's house. Circumstances that led me to coming to that left work, driving down the freeway, and I remember yelling at God, pounding on my steering wheel, saying, not this again. Don't make me go through this again, God. Really, God, you're going to make me go through this again. And shaking and crying and going to my brother's house there in the farm and finding him close to death, calling the ambulance, and then driving 40 minutes to the hospital to meet the ambulance at the emergency room. And as I'm coming down over the hill, I had this sudden sense of peace, and literally my chest felt like it was about to explode, and it was a fluttering, these birds that flew out of me around inside my car and burst into light. And at that moment, I felt this immense peace, and I knew that my brother was going to die. It took him 4 days, and during that time that I spent with him in the hospital, an amazing thing happened where I had always felt that I needed to somehow make restitution, and that he needed to somehow apologize to me for all of our past and everything horrible things that happened between us as children and growing up and all of that. And during that time, all of that was lifted, and it was literally the grace of God, because my brother was pretty much beyond conversation. But what I'll share about all of that is, yes, I did have this white light experience and a peace that came from that, but it didn't get me abstinent. It didn't stop me from binging and purging. In many ways, it threw me into the worst cycle ever. And what I realized as a result of this program and reading this book every day and working this program and listening to these meetings every day is that it's the other side of it. It's not that God show me your white light, show me that you exist. It's I have to turn to God. And I do that every morning by tumbling out of bed and getting on my knees. So I don't see the light before I tumble out. I see the light after I tumble out and open my eyes and turn my face and open my hands and to receive that beautiful love and light that God has for me every day. And it is a practice day by day by day. So I love to hear what other people have to say this morning about this paragraph, because it is quite profound. And I'll pass with that. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Dana P., for starting us off this morning with that powerful paragraph. If you would like to comment on that paragraph yourself today, press star 1 on your phone keypad. Give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state as well. But I just wanted to remind you how much we do respect everybody's wisdom and experience here on A Vision for You, and like to have an orchestra of voices to be able to come around. So what we're asking is, if you have shared on Friday, that you would wait until Wednesday to be your sharing day. We want folks to be able to wait for 3 days in between their shares, just to give room for the rest of the 250 people that are on the phone line this morning to be able to offer their experience, strength, and hope as well. So with that in mind, if you haven't shared since last Thursday, today would be your day. I'd like to take your name.
Kristen R. in Virginia.
Reggie Elena. O.
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Elena C.
Elena C. I have Reggie, Christina, and then Elena. Anybody else?
Kara L.
Kara. Okay, let's go with that so we can scrape up some of this time that's ticking by, okay? Reggie O., you're up first, and then Christina R. would follow
you. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah. Hi, Reggie. Nice to hear from you.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks so much for your service. And and I'm Reggie O., currently in Burney, Texas, where I am living for the next 6 months. And I had to jump on here quickly. I haven't shared on this meeting for quite a while. And I was having a similar experience to this paragraph this morning in the first meeting that I had not intended to go on, because I'm going to do some step work tonight. And I just got the urge to come on, and it was just the absolute most powerful sharing experience of listening to and getting and feeling and having the experience of being overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God and standing in the presence of infinite power and love, and in the whole idea of living in conscious companionship with my Creator. And then the last share from a dear friend of mine who's taken me through the steps and who has been with me all the way through my time, most of my time in program, shared, and it brought me to my knees. And so I come to you. It gave me the courage to also share on the meeting this morning that I'm 4 days abstinent today, and that's by the grace of God. And and I have not been sharing on program on the vision meeting because I haven't been able to say I was recovered, and I didn't want to share unless I could say I was recovered. And it brings me back to the very beginning of being here, and it was such a powerful meeting for me. I started coming in the fall of 2016, went through the steps right away, and what happened for me was that the ability to be able to say I am recovered became more important to me than the actual process and being an experience of being recovered itself. And I needed to be able to say that. I needed for, you all to think of me as a recovered person, not someone who is recovering. I wanted to be up with what I thought were the, the tall players, the starting lineup. And that's been with me off and on over time. And, it's not the truth. I'm not here. I'm not here to be able to say I'm a recovered person. I'm here to have that experience. I'm here to be able to live in the, in the promises of this paragraph and the promises I've been hearing over and over again in We Agnostics and in the reading this time. And, and I think, I think I simply just needed to say that. It came to me that entire abstinence is called for this, and entire abstinence requires entire honesty. And I haven't been entirely honest, and hiding out is not being honest. So I come today grateful to be able to say that, grateful for the courage of my friend, and grateful for the courage and, help of God to get me here and to open up and say that today in entire honesty. And I thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Reggie O., currently in Texas. As you can tell, I'm hesitating. Did I hear Christina R. up next?
Kristen R.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Apologize for that. You are for 3 minutes, madam.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you to everybody who makes this meeting possible. My name is Kristen R. in Virginia, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. This paragraph is so powerful, but I'm really struck by what the lead speaker said about it never got me sober, because that's true. Had a white light experience, and it didn't keep me sober. It didn't keep me out of depression or anxiety or binging, or it just didn't. And so I think about what is keeping me sober now, and it's what it says in the book, Big Book. If we keep close and perform His work well, then we will know our higher power. And that's a paraphrase, but the day-to-day prayer and meditation and service to others, that's what keeps me sober, not the white light experiences that I really wish for. I really wish I could get zapped and lose the weight that I want to lose. I really wish I could get zapped and be serene and peaceful every day. And I wake up every morning wishing for that. But the truth is, it doesn't start to happen until I sit down quietly in the morning and start saying my prayers and start focusing my mind on my higher power. Then I'm willing to be of service. And then when I start to be of service, then I start to feel some serenity and some peace that I long for. So for me, I just have to remember to stay in prayer, daily prayer. I have to remember to be in service. If I'm not helping a newcomer, if I'm not helping somebody get through the steps, I'm in trouble. I'm at risk of relapsing. So I need to always be in the Big Book helping somebody with their steps, so that I never forget what it was like for me and I can give away what was so generously given to me. So with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Kristen R. from Virginia. And then Elena C., you're up next, and then Kara will follow you. And then we'll be opening it up for more comments on that paragraph, which is paragraph 4 on page 56 of your Big Book. You want to get ready. But for now, let's listen to Elena. Hi.
I'm sorry. It took me a while to unmute. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater for today. I so much thank you for all the comments and for the moderator, for the service work and for other people. I love this paragraph and it's highlighted for me. This man was an alcoholic and had little hope. Other people had little hope for him. And, he, after being exposed to what the solution, of what it can take to recover, and also to the stories of those people who came to talk to him, he started questioning himself that, maybe there is God. And then this paragraph is the paragraph of surrender, when he surrenders. And when he surrenders and kind of takes down the walls he circles himself with, then he feels the presence of God. And it was so true for me. I think that I've been in other programs before coming to OA, but yet somehow here, it was more surrender than in the other program. And I think that my surrender was when I went to the meeting, and there was a big book meeting. I heard their stories and I heard their recovery and hope. And, hope is from my higher power. And when I heard the first time the word compulsive overeater, I was like, yikes, I don't know. I don't want to know what else is wrong with me. And yet that was also at the end of the meeting, I'm like, okay, I gotcha. I'm a compulsive overeater, and that was when I surrendered. And, the conscious contact with higher power is amazing. And, and I'm thinking about there was an unconscious contact because God has been there all along. My higher power has been there all along, inside each one of us is the fundamental idea of God, and that's unconscious. And through this steps of recovery, I learn to have a conscious presence of my Creator. And I have to do that every day. I have to stay in the step of recovery because otherwise I can't make it. My mind is sick and I can't make it without higher power. Thank you so much for that, Althea.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. And just another reminder, after Kara shares in her 3 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 56, if you want to get ready to press star 1 in the meantime. Kara L., good morning to you. It's your turn for 3 minutes.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you for everybody that's doing service today on the meeting. I love this paragraph. Of course, I said that. That's, I think, my opening line every time. But I was just thinking, something hit me today. The barriers he had built through years were swept away. And I thought, as I read that, I thought, what barriers do I have? And what am I doing to sweep them away? He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. And talking about the bridge of reason to the shore of faith. And my bridge of reason only carries me so far. At some point, I have to take that step of faith. And so I was just thinking, I said, all right, so I have barriers. What are they? I work these steps. I think as I work these steps, those barriers become into view, right? They come into view and I get an opportunity to draw closer, to have conscious companionship with my Creator, right? As it says in the book. And it allows me to see those places that I'm either in denial or those absolute truths of reason that I really believe that might not be so true. You know, the more I work these steps and the more I continue down this path, bedrocks of reason that I have stood on are beginning to crumble. Because the truth is, I don't know. I don't know. And I thought I did. And I was told that I had to know my whole entire life or I wouldn't be worth anything. And today, the gift today, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with it. Every time I start planning and thinking and doing, I'm like, wait a minute here. Did I ask God to guide me? Did I ask for input from my higher power? And I stop and I pause. And I'll tell you my most often said prayer. I say this one all the time throughout the day. Whatever, God, whatever. Today, I will take whatever instead of knowing. Because I know whatever my higher power has for me will be better, way better than anything I can think of on my own. So today I just say, whatever, God, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision to move forward. Because I know that you have great things for me. And that I know that I will stand on my bedrocks of reason by myself. And they will not be near as great as what you can give me.
Time.
And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Kara L. So again, we value all of your experience, strength, and hope here. And if you haven't shared since last Thursday, I'd love to be able to get your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state so that you might comment on today's paragraph, which is paragraph 4 on page 56 of the big book. I'm ready.
Larry G. from California.
Robin
G. Laura R. Robin.
Diane B., New York.
Diane B.
Lauren H., Los Angeles.
Lauren H. Anyone else this morning? I have space probably for one, if not two more.
Marty J.
Marty J. Okay. Time's a ticking. Let's go with this lineup and see what's left. So I have Larry, Laura, Robin, Diane, Lauren, and Marty. Up first is Larry. Hi, Larry. California.
Good morning, Melanie. Larry G. from California. Thank you, everybody who gives service and everybody who's on this call. Wow. If I ever doubt there was a God, all I have to do is read this paragraph and this big book. And without a doubt, I know there's a God. Bill W. was a snake oil salesman. He was a stockbroker that burnt his bridges on Wall Street. The only thing he ever wrote was a prospectus on investing. And if you ever have insomnia, read a prospectus. You'll fall asleep within the first paragraph. And this paragraph here is poetic. And he's writing about the surrender, this phenomenon of this experience. Because he's had this experience. He's making it come alive on this page. And I had the same experience on May 17th of last year. I've never met God. I never had a vision of God. How could I, with my human mind, visualize what God, you know, we give, as soon as we label God something with our human mind, it's limited. How can I conceive of a subless substance that has no form, that has no form, that has no beginning, no end? But I know in my heart that God came to me on May 17th of last year because I was a dead man. I did not want to live. And I've had surrender. I've had this experience before in AA. I had it in DA. I have never had to surrender again in those two programs, but in OA, it's over and over again until last year. And what was phenomenal about this is that here was a surrender for me. I knew in my heart it wasn't about food. It wasn't about compulsive eating. It was I knew that life without God was meaningless. I knew that I did not want to live without God in my life. And that has been true from the first day. And that has been the surrender I've never had before. I've surrendered alcohol. I surrendered compulsive debting. I've surrendered food before, but never have I surrendered to that level where I knew that I simply did not want to go on living without God in my life. So I'm here. I bear witness to that, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Let's see who I have next here.
Oh, sorry.
Laura?
Yeah.
Writing could be better. Fine. Good morning. Your 3 minutes start now.
Oh, it's so funny, Melanie. I don't know why I always step on your toes. It's when you unmute, and then I'm like, did she call my name? I don't know. Okay, so anyway, this is Laura R., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Oh, I just love honesty, and I love the courage of fellows who have gone on before me. And, you know, I thought I was recovered, and I talked to a fellow last week, and in her honesty and in her courage, she shared with me her truth, and in that, I was able to share what I have been doing. And it's funny, it's like, if I don't want to talk to someone about what I've been eating, then that's probably because it's not honest. And yeah, my program got sloppy, but what's even more scary than that is that, or not scary, for me, it's scary, is that for me, caffeine is just my number one no-no. And I didn't pick up coffee, but I was justifying something that I was drinking because it had caffeine, black tea powder, 20th on the ingredients list. And from the moment I took a sip of that, because I was trying to find a coffee substitute, I swear it had me at hello. And I was drinking that for probably 6-7 months, how long. Yesterday, I put it down for the first day, and I swear I was shaking. You know, it's scary, but looking at this text, it says the conviction of the presence of God. Like, I want to be overwhelmed, but I'm so scared, you know, because I've never been without something in my system to check me out, to be in the natural, to be just me with God and you. Holy crap. Like, that scares the bejee out of me. So hopefully, as I walk with other fellows who are doing it with me, recovered and recovering, I just hope today is, you know, day two is the last day I have to restart, because I don't want to hold on to anything else. I just want to be overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. And so I too ask for prayers, you know, and I'll pray for everyone else out there, just abstinent and not, you know, we just do this one day at a time and continue to be honest one day at a time. And I'm just, I am so grateful to be a member of OA. I can't even tell you. There was a last week, over the weekend, I was like, could I not be a member? Could I just continue to drink this stuff and then just listen to Vision? No, I can't. I love it too much. I love the big book. I love God. I love you. So thank you for people in these rooms that talk to me and just help me get honest, because it's really hard to let go of those things that are scary, but I'm going to try to, you know, step from bridge to shore with my Creator and with all you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. from Colorado, by the way. Robin P., you're up next, and then Diane B. will follow you.
Thanks so much, Mel. Thanks for your great service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And this is such a powerful paragraph. I, too, have it underlined. And, you know, I've had very, very profound spiritual awakening, and it's still one day at a time. And it's still a faith walk for me, and not, you know, I always think to myself, this is a faith walk, not a fear walk. And it's not a resting on my laurels walk. This is a faith walk every day. And I'm given 24 hours every day, even though I'm so grateful for my 5 years of abstinence. It's one day at a time. And, you know, I get to stand in the presence of infinite power and love every second of every day. You know, if I don't feel close to God, who left? That's what I always remember. So I get to invite the Holy Spirit in with me every day. And when I ask, I receive, you know. And I always remember that when I ask, for me, I ask God and the angels to help me, I feel that Holy Spirit, that presence with me. And it's just for the taking. So I just get to be willing to ask for help from God and my fellows, and to be of service, the full circle, giving and receiving. And I love that it says that he lived in the conscious companionship with his Creator. It's nice alliteration, and it's good writing. So I just get to live in that one moment at a time, staying conscious is my companionship with my Creator. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence and recovery today. And, you know, everything that I've gone through, God's on the other side. There's always lemonade for the lemons that I've experienced. And I'm about to do it again. We're about to move again. And I'm so grateful. If I didn't look for the solution, I wouldn't find it. So I am looking for the solution, and God's blessing me. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Robin P. She's in Florida right now, for sure. That's Eastern time. Diana B., you're next, please. And then Lauren H. will follow you. Star one.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service and for everybody else who keeps this meeting going. I'm really grateful for this meeting. I haven't shared in quite a while, so I decided today was a good day for that. So it says that the man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. Well, I didn't tumble out of bed, but I certainly felt like I had been hit by a ton of bricks. I did not believe in a higher power, did not believe in God, wouldn't even discuss it with anyone. And when I came into the rooms in 1986, people kept telling me, just keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind and see what happens and just be aware. And what I realized today is that the things that separated me from that, my barriers were always in my thoughts. And, you know, we just recently, we read the chapter more about alcoholism, which is about my stinking thinking. And for many, many years, that's what it was. It was my thoughts, thinking that I could do everything by myself, being taught that if I wanted to get anything done right, I had to do it myself. And I subscribed to that until finally, when I did start keeping an open mind, the idea of a higher power became more apparent to me. And then after seeing some evidence, I really came to believe that there truly is a higher power in my life and that it's concerned with me. No matter how small I am in the universe, no matter how small my troubles are in the scheme of things, that God is always with me and that God is concerned with what goes on in my life. And today, I do keep that conscious companionship with me. I pray every day, all through the day, and I know that I see the evidence around me. I can see the evidence of God working in my life and in other people's lives. The more I do service, the more I see that. And I can see it through sponsoring, through meetings, through the, reading the literature. Everything that we do in this in these rooms helps me to see what is really going on. And so when I finally figured this out for myself or finally had enough evidence for myself, then everything just started working. Everything started, you know, I started seeing the sunlight of the spirit and being able to live in that, and I could see the presence of my higher power in my life all around me. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Diane B. from New York. Next up is Lauren H. for 3 minutes, and then Marty J. will follow you, Lauren.
Hi, this is Lauren H., a recovered compulsive overeater, from Los Angeles, California. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thanks to all that do service here. Appreciate that. This paragraph speaks to me. The barriers that I built. I had an experience almost a year ago, last June, with God, and it was definitely an experience. And what happened was I was drowning over a year ago. My mom died. I was back in the food after being in program for a long time, and I just couldn't anymore. And called a big book sponsor, and she took me through the steps, and we went through the steps, and we're almost done. And I just was holding on to a lot of stuff, and found myself making my dinner early and starting to eat my dinner earlier than, you know, before my dinner. And it wasn't at all like any kind of binge I had before, but I wasn't going to God is what I realized. And I was devastated. I sobbed on my bed. Why can't I get this? I was holding on to a resentment. Somebody said something about me and I was going to the food, not God. And God directed me to open the big book, and I read all about fear, and I realized I was holding on to a lot of fear, wasn't giving God my fear. And I had a walk with my dog that night, and I just said, I don't want this fear, God. I don't know. What is it? Why take this? And I had this moment where it was like I was wearing a heavy cape, and God said, just untie the cape and throw it on the floor. And that is your cape of fear. You don't need it anymore. I've got you. And it was just an imagination that I had in my head, but I walked differently after that day last June. I call myself recovered after that time. I drop, you know, one day at a time, every morning I connect back to God and, you know, remove fear when it comes up, ask God to remove fear when it comes up. But yeah, those barriers, I dropped the barrier then, and I just asked, I begged God for help. It was like going from bridge to shore. Like the next line says, my cornerstone was fixed in place. My eyes saw differently. And I'll tell you what, I never said the word God like once a year, maybe before OA, and then in OA for 4 years, maybe like every time we prayed it at the meetings. And now it's the greatest fact of my life. I thank God every morning when I wake up. As soon as I get up, I think about God. I think about God all day. It's my like employer and best friend. And because I need God to do life. I need God, you know, I'm grateful that I'm powerless and God can just do it all for me. And I'll just be the vessel. So I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Okay, Marty J., you're up next, and it looks like after Marty's 3 minutes, there's going to be time for at least one, if not two more shares on paragraph 4, page 56. If you have that burning in yet, get ready in 3 minutes. Hey, Marty, it's your turn.
Hi, everybody. This is Marty J. from Torrance, California. I'm just really grateful to be on the line this morning, and to have this paragraph read reminds me of a time when I was really willing to get on my knees in a really dire situation after nearly losing my daughter to a really bad accident about 12 years ago. And I've been mothering my children for about close to 25 years, but kind of takes a different spin when you start caretaking a disabled child. And I think lately I've just been feeling very weary. Weary in caregiving. And this paragraph just really stuck out to me because I have always had a pretty great faith in God, and it has called me in different directions and in different types of paths over my lifetime. And it hasn't always been within a church, sometimes out of a church, you know, different denominations. But at the same time, I've had this solid connection with a higher power in my life. Yet at the same time, the thought of this, of the barriers is that I have built around myself are out of self-preservation, I suppose, stick out to me in this paragraph. But I have had that overwhelming feeling of having the presence of my God, my higher power, poured over me in multiple situations and in small ways and in large ways. And I guess the sentence about he had stepped from bridge to shore stuck out to me a lot because I live by the coast and I go there frequently to connect with my higher power. And I walk on the beach, I sit on the beach, I meditate there. And it's a place that I struggle to get to on a weekly basis because of this sort of weariness that I feel like I experience in caretaking. But I have to say that what stuck out was that he stepped from bridge to shore. And that reminds me of that I really have to take that action every day to get that reprieve of the weariness I feel in my life. I have to be the one to take the step from the bridge to the shore. And I hesitate and I bind myself and I restrict myself and I find reasons not to and make excuses, and everyone and everything else comes first. And at the end of the day, I still have to be the one to put myself first so that I can take that step from bridge to shore. So I'm doing something really hard this week, and I'm leaving today. Okay. And I hope for a more of a conscious contact with God on my trip this week. And I thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Marty J. That's Marty J. from California. It's time for one more share to wrap up this recorded portion of the meeting. Would somebody like to take that this morning?
Bruce E.
Hi, Bruce. Go ahead. It's your 3 minutes.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I got a burning desire here, right? And thanks, everybody. What a rocket ship of a paragraph, you know? I mean, just amazing. Well, this whole end of this We Agnostics, tremendous chapter anyway, and then they hit us, Bill hits us with this at the end, this tremendous story of this guy having this huge spiritual experience. And and just before that, he's just hitting a very low point in his life, and then all of a sudden, man, he's on the top of the moon here. But so I'm out walking. I was in this group, and they said, hey, just, you know, every now and then when you get a chance, you know, and you're really, really in an isolated place, just get down on your knees and pray and see what you get, you know, see what you hear. And I thought, well, you know, hey, I give it a shot, you know, what the heck, see if that one, how that one will work out for me. Anyway, so I'm out at about 5-6 in the morning, this is about 20 years ago, walking on the golf course, and nobody was around. And I thought, I give that a try. I got down, I took my shoes off, got down on my knees, and just, I don't even remember what I prayed. And all of a sudden, the entire world stopped and everything got silent. And you couldn't hear a bird. You couldn't hear, I mean, there wasn't anything. You know, it's just this silence, this tremendous silence. And then I'd start to pray, and then it would go away. Or I'd start to think positive things would go away. You know, it just was this presence that I've never felt before, never felt since. I'd love to have that all the time, but I don't know if that's even possible. But I would categorize that as an experience like he had. He tumbled out of bed, you know, onto his knees. This guy was totally humbled by hearing from God. And I think God comes in many different ways. Now, did I get recovered then? No, it took about 15, 20 years later, you know. 15 or 20 years more of pain. Did I get abstinent then? No, it took a long time later. What was missing then? Well, I had to get up off my knees and go to work. That was my problem, was I had to go to work. I didn't want to go to work. You know, what do you mean I can just have this spiritual experience and not just keep it the rest of my life and never overeat again? No, I had to go to work. God wanted me to get up off my knees and do something and go to work, get a sponsor and start working through the steps and work together and then work with other people, you know. So there was more to it than that initial spiritual experience for me. I had to go to another level, I guess you'd say. You know, I mean, I was at a tremendously high level, but I had to go to the work level, the servant level, start to serve other people and start to work the step stuff and do this step stuff, which is a lot of work, you know. I mean, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Okay, so that wraps up the recorded part of the meeting. We'll finish it out with the reading from the big book and say the Serenity Prayer together while we transition to the last 10 minutes of our unrecorded meeting. So I'd like to ask Mary B. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll join together in the Serenity Prayer. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mel. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.